Joining us now, a very popular guest, apparently from the text line. Every time we have this gentleman on, I get a lot of positive feedback, and I'm always glad he can make time for us. He's a former member of the Alabama State Senate. Rusty Glover on the line. Senator, how are you?
Just fine. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Well, it's spring break in Montgomery. I don't know what members of the legislature do under spring break typically, but a lot of them are getting some time away. In the meantime, I guess it's halftime. We're kind of reevaluating the session this year. And, based on your observations, at least it's my observation, things have moved along pretty decently so far. But I kind of wonder how sustainable that is in the long run.
Oh, yes. They set out the goals to get halfway through with the budgets before the break, and they're on that timeline. It's a good break for them. They've been there for about 7 weeks, and they'll have about another 7 or 8 weeks left, and it's good to kind of get away from Montgomery for a week and get with your constituents. Some of them have the money go on vacations, others go back to work, but it's a good break, and they come back refreshed and ready to go next Tuesday.
Does it matter, the one we're all talking about with gaming, the gambling? The debate, the enabling legislation is going to be there. I don't know. Del Marsh just seems to be fine with just getting it through the Senate. But my thinking is it would be lucky to see the light of day in the House. A lot of this seems to be going through the motion as we look toward us probably a special session.
Yes, I think Dale is going to be very determined. This is his last, maybe his last chance to get this through, because he's not running for re-election. And as you've mentioned before, it's a lot of those hot button topics do not come up on election year. So I think he's going to put in overdrive to try to get it passed. Some are bringing forth plans for a lottery bill. Now, the thing about a lottery would be if, and this has been mentioned on your program before, if the state is classified as a state as a class 3 gambling state, then the Poarch Creek Indians can do what they want to in their casinos that they have that are in their tribal lands. And what that would pretty much do is wipe out Whitehall, Macon County, Green Track, because they'll have things that people want to go participate in, whereas they'll be falling behind in those other tracks. So if a lottery came through, it could be a huge windfall for Poarch Creek. And I think that a lot of people would be upset that it would still be no taxes coming from the Poarch Creek if that were to happen. And I think that would lead us to the governor negotiating a compact with Poarch Creek, and they would come forward and work with the governor, because they very much, my understanding is, want to put a facility on some land they own that's not tribal land in DeKalb County, and that would be a huge windfall for them. You have people bust in from Atlanta and Chattanooga coming into that facility. So it'd be their biggest facility. So, but if the competition in state is wiped out, I think that the Poarch Creek will have a better bargaining power at the table with the governor if a lottery only bill is passed.
Well, and here's the thing. I can never get a clear, straightforward answer on what it means. If Jim McClendon or if Garland Gudger are successful, they get this bill. It's just a standalone lottery bill. No video lottery terminals or any of that. It's just scratch off Mega Millions, Powerball and everything. That the prohibition in the Alabama Constitution for gambling is gone. What do the Poarch Creek Indians, what are they able to offer on tribal land, not separately from that? And there seems to be varying answers on that. Now, we got somebody is going to come up, and I think later this week, Friday, give us kind of their thoughts on it. But anyway, this whole notion that would create this competitive imbalance in gaming in the state still seems to prevail right now, and getting that lottery bill getting it done and getting it out of the House of Representatives.
Right. It's just kind of, you know, to me personally, it's troubling. I never voted for any gambling legislation or expansion of gambling. I feel like, you know, as David Sessions said yesterday, it's a tax on the poor. And what you would have with the lottery, that's a big concern to a lot of people, is that you would have these lottery dispensaries in the grocery store, the local convenience stores around in the neighborhoods. You know, you have a lot of people that are crossing the border. Yes, they're going to Georgia and Tennessee and Florida and whatnot to purchase tickets. Many people are doing that, especially when the mega jackpots are hitting. But a lot of the poor people aren't able to make those trips on a consistent basis where they'll have them in their neighborhood. I was a teacher for 25 years, and I saw a lot of kids come into my class from broken homes, you know, due to alcohol, drugs, or infidelity. But to add another tool to the toolbox of destruction of the family, I'm really frightful of something like that happening to the families. I know a lot of the legislators come on and they say they're not for it, but they're giving the people the vote on it. But you know, there's two ways to look at that idea, because think about this. We had a pro-life amendment come before us 4 or 5 years ago to go before the people. I doubt if very many Democrats wanted to allow that to go to the people. Voted no on it. Republicans, there's a Democrat in the Senate that comes up with a property tax increase just about every year. No Republicans support giving that to the people to vote on. So it just depends on, you know, it's a lot of inconsistencies on, I'm against it, but I want the people to vote on it. But I'm just, you know, one question, Jeff, that has been kind of overlooked by a lot of folks is to think about, you know, the legislators and the people that may have a chance to vote on it. You know, the question is the destruction of the families a proper trade-off for the expansion of government? Which is, this is what, it's going to be an expansion of government. The proceeds are going to expand the size of the government of the state of Alabama. You know, we do have needs in the general fund budget. There's a shortfall for mental health, the court systems. There is a shortfall, but the gambling proceeds, I haven't seen very much where the gambling proceeds are going to go to shore up the short funding in that area. It's mostly to grow government. And so that's a concern that I have. And I think there's some legislators that have that concern too. But however, I do believe that, you have a lottery proposal on the floor. I think it passes, and I think it passes overwhelmingly by the people of Alabama. But to me personally, that's just a big concern I have.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we have that conversation enough? Do we have enough? Because that seems to be totally missing from this discussion that, you know, like you said, I have a lot of these lawmakers, and you're right. They say, well, I'm not for gambling, but I'm for giving the people the right to vote on it. I don't game. Or they say that, you know, we need to make sure this money stays here in Alabama. And then those are all, I think, all have some validity. But on the other hand, we don't talk about societal impact. And they will tell you this. They will tell you this. Well, if somebody wants to gamble, they'll just drive over to Mississippi or they'll just drive over to Florida. And they're right about that. But why does the government need to make that easier? Why does the government need to enable this? I'm not saying that it should be a deal breaker, but it's got to be part of the discussion.
Exactly right. And the bottom line is, yes, we do have people crossing the lines to go vote. To gamble. But the bottom line is, we're going to have more citizens in Alabama gambling, which will have some negative side effects in the structure of the family, and that's something I'm very concerned about. But you know, it was in the report, but it's always overlooked when people talk about the report, the governor's commission. They mention it kind of on the side, and it's just not really delved into. If Dale's bill goes through and it goes to the voters, you know, you have a less number of people supporting it than a straight lottery. I still think that right now that it would pass, and it would pass, I think, maybe by a larger margin, primarily because those that would stand to make a lot of money is going to pour a lot of money into advertising. And some of these other states that have had gambling referendums over the years, those opposing the measure have been outspent 300, 400 to 1. I mean, literally that kind of a ratio where, you know, the people, that's all they're getting is a message. And, And I mean, personally, from a couple of years ago when I ran for office, being outspent 11-1 by one opponent and 10-1 by another opponent, it's very hard to get your message out if you don't have the money to advertise. And these poor advocacy groups and our churches or whatnot, whoever would be opposing the gambling measures would be far outspent. And I think it would definitely pass. And I fear for, you know, the future of the state if something like that were to happen.
Well, and meanwhile, if you're one of these legacy dog track, Milton McGregor, you know, these casinos, if you don't get a deal now, my question is, what is your future look like? Is there the possibility that the AG's office, that we could have Bingo Wars 2.0, is there a possibility they come in and they say, well, what you're doing is illegal. We gave the legislature an opportunity to act, and if they don't get a deal, would Steve Marshall then, you know, he said publicly he doesn't think what they're doing is within the confines or the spirit of the law. And I wonder if that might lead to action, because my speculation is the AG's office wasn't getting involved in any of this because they just wanted to see if the legislature would address this issue.
Right. Well, with Marsh's bill, the Democrats supported it because it protected those legacy dog track and casino facilities. Now, if we were to go to a lottery that left them unprotected, what would be the trade-off? I think that the trade-off would be that the number one issue that the Democrats want is expansion of Medicaid. And I think that would soon follow a defeat for the legacy dog tracks. I think that would be coming. It may come anyway, the expansion of Medicaid.
Well, and then you bring up expansion of Medicaid. We got just a couple more minutes here. Greg Albritton on this show earlier this week, he says prisons, and he's talking about expanding Medicaid. Now, in the House, Representative Klaus, the chairman of the general fund there, not even a mention of it, but Senator Albritton seems to believe that there is enough momentum that he needed to be concerned to raise that issue, that you know, you're obviously not going to do it with the Democrat super minority. But apparently there's enough Republicans, maybe in the governor's office and elsewhere, that are interested in expanding Medicaid.
Yeah. Well, seven or eight years ago, I believe it was Senator Pittman who authored it. We had a resolution. We passed the legislature to the governor, encouraging the governor, and it was Bentley at the time, not to expand Medicaid. And I think the main reason was of course the general fund was not in the position that it is now. It's in much better shape now than it was then. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of talk about kicking the can down the road, keep the general fund afloat and all this. But one thing that I remember distinctly was that women and children are already covered for Medicaid. It's the employable men who are not working would then be put on the rolls, which I would see is maybe it kind of knocked out one of the incentives to work. Some people work. Incentive to work is for insurance. And so that was a concern. Now, there may be some other variables out there now that were not there then. I don't know, but I see that's going to happen.
Well, Senator, we got to leave it there, but I thought it was a very good discussion. Let's do this again real soon.
Let's do that. Have a safe trip to Wiregrass tomorrow, okay?
Appreciate that. Former State Senator Rusty Glover on the program.